Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. He said, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want to just look at this tonight. Now, we've been on Wednesday nights, and we've jumped around on it some because of Christmas stuff. But we've talking about orthodoxy. We're talking about the key scriptures of the Word of God, the ideals that protect our Christian faith. And it not only protects our Christian faith, but it helps us to reset back to the center. You know, when we stray a little bit one way or another, that's the Word of God that brings us back where we need to be. It redirects our lives and our thinking and puts us back on track to line us up with God. Amen. And we see here, you know, we've talked before, though, on the unchanging nature of God and His Word. We talked on the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talked about the depravity of man. But tonight I want to preach just a little while, if God will bear help, on salvation by grace through faith. Amen. The simple thought of salvation by grace through faith. You say, "Now, preacher, you're preaching to the choir." We all know this. Amen. Yeah, but we need to have it rooted and grounded in our soul that we know it beyond a shadow of doubt so that there's never no question about where we stand when it comes from God. You say, how come? Because of what Paul's telling them here in Ephesians. He's talking about old lost sinners. Amen? He said the old lost sinners in the first part of this chapter, he said they're not sick needing help. He said that they're dead needing life. So we're not sick needing help. We are dead needing life. That's where he said we were. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We just plain missed the mark. We were going in the wrong direction. We had deviated from the plan of God. Amen? Lost sinners. Sinners are in bondage to the world. They're in bondage to the flesh. And they're in bondage to the devil. Amen? That's who the old flesh serves if we ain't careful. Praise God, I'm glad God can bring you out through salvation and put you on a different path where you're serving in the good will of God. Now, when you get in the right state of mind with God, then you can do the things that are pleasing to God. Verse number 10 of this verse, I love this verse. He says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." He said that we're His workmanship created to do good works for Christ. And we can't do those good works without Christ. Amen? If you're trying to do good without Him, you're just beating a dead horse. They said, "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He said, in other words, God said, God's got a plan for us and He'll help us to walk in the good things of God if we'll let Him. Amen? But He said, "For by grace you are saved through faith." He said, that's where it comes in. He said, "The good grace of God, His unmerited favor to you and I, who were definitely sinners." Paul said we were dead in trespasses and sin, and He quickens us. He makes us alive. He renews us in our spirit. He takes that old cold dead spirit, that old cold dead stony heart, He plucks it out, and He puts in a heart of flesh. Amen? That's why some people have a whole different attitude till they get saved. Amen? And that once they get saved, everything about them just changes. All of a sudden, that old sullen person becomes a smiling person. Amen? That old sour person becomes a sweet person. Amen? What about a God that can do that? Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, that's never really happened to me." Well, what are you waiting for? Just go ahead and get in, praise God. He said, "For by grace you're saved through faith." Where's your faith at? Who are you putting your faith in? We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, and He begins to make that difference in us. He begins to, this is just orthodox, this is just straight Bible. Amen. God said, this is where we are. He said, it's not of works. He said, it's not the things you can work out, not the things you can accomplish within yourself. Amen. We can't do nothing within ourselves. He said, when we try to do that, we're working for self and the devil. Amen. He said, we need to come out of that and we need to begin to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been trying to accomplish something for Him. Because He says, it's only the Lord that can free us from ourselves, free us from Satan, free us from the devil, free us from the bondage, free us from the world, free us from our flesh. We can't do it ourselves. Amen? Just think about the people that you know that's always trying to turn over a new leaf and always trying to do right, but they never accomplish the task. Amen? I'll just tell you straight up, we can't do it by ourselves. We need the Lord to help us. Our very best day, praise God, is not really pretty. Amen? Without the Lord helping us, pray God. It's not a works, lest any man should boast. It's not, if we could do and be good enough, praise God, within ourselves, then we wouldn't need Jesus. Amen? But we need Jesus. He had to come from the throne of grace down to me and you to give us that encouragement that we needed. Amen? That we needed, that we need every day to be encouragement to others along the way. Look over at Titus chapter number 3. In Titus chapter 3, Paul's talking to Titus, and he's laying this thing out, talking about Christianity, and he talks about our citizenship, and he's trying to relate to our citizenship. You know, we have a citizenship here on earth. You know, we've got a town that we live in and a zip code. But I want to say, if you're a child of God, glory, how somebody just jump up and have a spell. If you're a child of God tonight, you've got a citizenship in heaven. Amen. Your name's written down over there, praise God. You have a place in heaven with God Almighty and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what Paul tells us in Titus, he said, remember where you were. Amen. Remember what you were. Amen. He said, well, verse number 3, look at this. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 3. He said, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Can I get a witness? Amen. Did you ever do foolish things? Have you ever done stuff that's so foolish that you wish that the people that knew you then didn't know you? Amen. Like you could just shake a wand and they'd be gone, that they'd never remembered the foolish thing that you've done? Am I the only one like that? Amen. Hey, I've done things in my life that were so foolish. And I look back on it now and I say, that was so ignorant, so foolish. Why did I do it? It's because of the flesh that we live in. He said at worst, sometimes. I know we're not foolish all the time, but we were sometimes foolish. He said, sometimes disobedient. You ever been disobedient? Amen. God will speak to your heart to do something, you didn't do it. That's disobedience. Amen. Mom and dad ever tell you to do something and you didn't do it? Didn't do exactly what they told you? That's disobedience. He said, that's who we were. That's where we was at. He said, we were deceived. Amen. I remember a time when I was deceived. They was some people in my life at one time, and I thought they were just the greatest people in the world, but they wasn't as great as I thought they was. Amen. He said, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Amen. We've got to look at ourselves and say, who do we serve? Because salvation, praise God, it makes a difference in you. He said, living in malice. Amen. Lord help us. And envy. And hateful. And hating one another. Does that sound familiar? Anybody that you know that's like that? What do they need? They need a good dose of salvation. Amen. The Bible says we know that we come from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen? He said we start loving one another. We start caring for one another. But now listen to what he says in verse number 4. I like this. Verse number 4. He said, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. See what? Now notice this. Something has to happen for a change to come in your life. And he said that what has to happen is God, our Savior, has to appear. We have to see Him. We have to see Him as He is. We got to recognize who He is. He's not only the Lord, but He's the Lord our Savior. Praise God. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. Now, God wants us to live a righteous life. We know that. A life that's right according to the Word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. But he said, not after the kindness and love of God, but he said, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen? Not by works that we've done. We realize, we remember where we were. Remember where we was at. Praise God. And we remember where the Lord brought us from. It wasn't ourselves, praise God, that saved us, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. When we put our faith in Him, we receive that salvation. That's what true salvation is. Amen. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's putting our faith and trust in the Savior of men. Amen. Remember what He did for you? Amen. Remember? The kindness the Lord has showed forth, appeared to you. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, He regenerated us. Amen. Took that old man that we were, regenerated us into a new creature, a new creation. Amen. You say, how do you do it? By changing that's on the inside. You know what they do when they upgrade your computer or they upgrade your cell phone? They the outside can still look the same, but they take the guts out and they regenerate the inside. The inside becomes bigger and better than it was before. Amen. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. That's what God does for us. Not the works that we've done, but He said God, through His mercy, saved us and washed by washing of regeneration. So He changed that old dead thing that was dying out, praise God, and put in something that was going to be renewed and live forever. Amen. He said, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of life. See, He took that old dead out, that old dead sinner that we knew that we were, and He put in a life of the Spirit inside us. That new life, praise God, in Christ Jesus the Lord. Praise God. He said, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now watch this. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's life eternal. Amen? That's that never-dying spirit, praise God, that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. See, that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're looking at orthodox things, praise God. The orthodoxy of the Word of God, going back to those key scriptures, reaffirming in our hearts, praise God, affirming in our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Praise the Lord. We need it even so the more as we see the day approaching, being prepared, ready to go, praise God, knowing where we stand and what we believe. Bringing back to center, praise God, our stance of Christianity in our faith, praise God, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, our comforter, our consoler, praise God. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. See, it's part of our maintenance program. Amen? I preached on this one time years ago about our maintenance program, maintaining good works, a maintenance program in the Lord. You need a good maintenance program, praise God, to keep running well. You take your old car and you don't perform normal maintenance on it, in a year or two or three or four, praise God, you'll have an old clunker. We'll have something that's apt to let you down. But if you have a good maintenance program on that old car, and you take care of it and you treat it right, praise God, you can run that thing just on and on and on. Amen. This old fella out there in Weaver had a Toyota pickup truck that had over 400,000 miles on it. Amen. Still drove it every day. But he said the secret was a maintenance program. Amen. Taking care of it. God says, hey, we got to have a maintenance program. Said, so these things are good and profitable unto men. So we have to have a maintenance program because of what we were. We need reviving and renovating, praise God, from that part that we used to be. Amen? If you look back over in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, who does God want to go to heaven? All of us. Isn't it a whosoever salvation? God wants every one of us to be in heaven. But look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He said, know ye not, verse number 9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, what he's saying, if you ain't right with God, you ain't going. Amen? He said, wait a minute, preacher. You know, I'm saved. Praise God. He said, if you ain't right with God, you ain't going. We got to be saved. In other words, what he's saying is he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, you've got to have a new birth. He said, that original birth ain't going to get you there. Amen? He said, you've got to have a new birth. You've got to be born again. You've got to have the righteousness of Christ. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Now, you know what all these things are. We've told you before. You know, that effeminate means be a man or a woman and act like the other. Or be a man, act feminine, act something that you're not supposed to be. You know, adulterers, those that practice social sins, praise God. Adulterers. Then you got the idolaters that have spiritual sin. They worship other things other than God. They put things before God. And of course, fornicators is sexual sin. That's going out and playing around in the world with people besides your husband or your wife. Amen. But the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Praise God. He said we can't be deceived. He said that when you begin to be led astray, you start falling into these untoward categories. He said they were nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, amen? That's an outward act. Nor covetousness, that's an inward attitude. Nor drunkards, amen? That's anything that would alter your mind from thinking the good way toward God. There's a whole lot of people caught up in that today, the wine and the drugs and the addictions. He said, nor revilers, those that will destroy with words. Nor extortioners. That's somebody that'll want to try to take away from somebody else so that they can have it themselves. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, these kind of people ain't going to make it in. Amen? Because they're not right with God. What's God trying to tell us here? Amen? What's He trying to tell us? He said, when you get right with God, your whole attitude about everything should change. You can't do the things that you used to do, praise God. God will bring you out of that. Because He wants you to inherit the kingdom of God. He wants you to live in righteousness. But listen to what He says in verse 11. And such were some of you. Amen. I preached a message several years ago on have-beens and ought-to-bes. Amen. What we have been, we were all these vile things. But He said we ought to be righteous in the eyes of God. We ought to be living right, seeking to do right. Even so the more in the day. He said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. Amen. We're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sanctified, set aright, made pure, praise God. Just as if we had never sinned, praise God. You're justified. I mean, that's righteousness, being just as if we had never ever sinned, though we have. We know we have. We know we're old sinners, saved by grace. Said, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, we've been made new, regenerated. I mean, isn't that what he was talking about a while ago in Titus? The same thing. He said, there's been a renovation process that's taken place in your life. The way that you used to be, he said, you're not that person no more. Amen? We ought to be striving every day to be new in Christ. A newer, better person, praise God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because He came, praise the Lord. If you go back to Titus, let me just show you something real quickly. I'll turn there if you don't want to. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. He gives us the principles how to make it work. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's past tense. It's happened. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said, this is what we need to be doing now. I don't know why we've got an idea that, you know, one day in a little while, we're going to start trying to live right. You know, when I accomplish this and I do that and the other, then I'm going to start living right and doing right and trying to be pleasing to God. I mean, we ought to start doing that. We don't know when He's coming. He's coming again. We need to be ready, praise God. We need to be practicing for when He gets here. He asked the question over in Luke chapter 18. He said, will I find faith when I come? Now, He wasn't talking about finding saved people. He was talking about finding faithful people. People that's saved and faithful to Him. People that's trying to do right, trying to live right. Amen? He said, looking for that blessed hope, that's the coming of the Savior, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that right there. The great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. He's the great God of glory, praise God. He's 100% God. Praise His name. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So He said that God hath appeared to every man to bring salvation, to teach us, instruct us, praise God, in the principles and the right way of living. Bless His name. So we can go the way God would have us to go, be what God would have us to be, even in the late hour that we live. Praise God. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So He tells Timothy the same thing I'm telling you, praise God. He said, stay with the orthodoxy. Stay with the stuff, praise God. Just keep telling it everywhere you go. Paul would say, I bring to your remembrance. Amen. And he would repeat the things he had said before. Peter said, I call to your remembrance. And he would repeat those things that he had said before because they didn't want us to forget. That God wants us to remember, praise God. There is a right way. And God says, I want my people to be on the right way when I come. Praise God. I want them to be solid and steadfast. Praise God. When I come. Paul would lay it out for his people, praise God, over in Romans chapter number 3. If you back up to Romans chapter number 3, Paul would lay it out. And he's almost like an attorney summarizing his case in Romans chapter number 3. And he lays it out and he shows us that all are condemned. Amen? That every one of us are guilty of sin. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Amen? So he lays that, shows us that, as an attorney, I shows all of us are guilty as sin and guilty in sin. Amen? All are condemned. Amen? And that we cannot save ourselves. Look at verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen? So he tells us here that no man can save himself. That doing good and trying to be the best you can will not save you. Now, should we do good and try to do the best we can? Absolutely. With the help of the Lord. Because He tells us that we can't do it within ourselves. That no matter how we good inside the law, praise God, we can't fulfill the law. The law was that school teacher to point us to Christ. The law was that mirror that revealed sin. Amen? It just showed us our sin and our sinfulness. It showed us how vile we really were. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from sin. He was the only thing. The blood of goats and lambs, it would just push them back, hold the wrath of God off of us for just a little while longer. But it took the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, to forgive us of our sins. It's good to do good works. It's good to be the best you can. But good works are not enough. They're not enough to save you. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Amen? So he said it's not enough. The good works is not enough outside of Christ. It's God's salvation that brings, brings that help to us. Amen. So is God's salvation lawful? I was thinking thinking about Paul as an attorney, and he's bringing this up to us. We have to ask, well, is God's salvation lawful? Now, if you go to trial and the judge is there, amen, he's the judge. He's been elected. He's been put in that position to be a judge. And you're found guilty as sin and guilty of sin. Is it lawful for that judge to let you go if you've been found guilty? Absolutely not. It would turn our world upside down. But that's exactly what's happening in the world today. People, sinners are going before the judge, and the judge is saying, well, you know, it's not really that bad, and turn them back loose, and look where we are. I mean, just sinfulness and wickedness, and it's waxing worse and worse. Imagine that. Because the Bible said it would. But can you imagine that judge, amen, just saying, okay, you're guilty as sin, but I'm going to let you go. Is it lawful for God to do that? Amen? Can that judge do that? He can't, but God can. Because the God is the lawgiver. Praise God. He is the judge, praise God. And he obeyed His own law when He sent His only begotten Son, praise God, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The great judge of God of glory, praise God, is justified in His judgment because the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, stepped up and became our sin. Amen. Think about that. We were all guilty in the eyes of God. But true salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever He came and He became, He that knew no sin became sin for you and me. Think about that the next time, praise God, when you get out on your knees, you talk to the Lord, how good He's been. In other words, He paid the penalty of your sin. He paid the penalty of my sin so that you and I might go free from the penalty of that sin. Praise God. Amen. You say, well, how does that work out? Praise God. The judge, praise God, he became the very one, praise God, he obeyed the law. He became sin for us, praise God. He paid the price of sin, and now the judge, now watch this, now the judge, Brother Charles, becomes our Savior. Amen. Amen. The judge becomes our Savior. I say hallelujah to God. Amen. As Paul is laying it out for them, he said, the Son becomes, the judge becomes the Savior. In verse number 21, he said, but now the righteous God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't that a wonderful thing? That the God of heaven, praise God, He came and made the difference. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There it is. Praise God. True salvation is through the redemption. We've been justified just as if we never sinned. All charges are dropped. Amen. That's enough to make a Co-Baptist shout. Praise God. That ought to stir a Methodist up. Amen. Realize that God Almighty, praise, that we are justified freely through that grace, praise, freely by His grace through redemption. That is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's His sacrifice through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad it's that way. What is that? That's true salvation in a nutshell. Praise God. That's orthodoxy. That's what brings us back in line. If there's ever any doubt. If there's ever any doubt about who you are, about your salvation, praise God. Remember where Jesus brought you from. And it's through faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, that make you different. Amen. Give you a different aspect on life. It'll bring you to a different conclusion. When you realize, praise God, it's the very judge, praise God, the judge of the universe that now has become your Savior. Glory. The judge has become your Savior. That's an amazing thing because one day He said, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Amen. But we're standing before a merciful God, Brother Charles. He said he's going to that he's going to judge us in righteousness. And we're counting our righteousness on him. Amen. We're putting our faith, our righteousness in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's altogether loving. He's altogether sufficient to meet the need. Even when we sin before him, praise God, at the judgment seat of Christ, he'll still be able to look at it and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. You know, so sometimes I know I come up short. Can I get a witness? You know I come up short. All of us, we all come up short. But praise God, I'm glad that I've got a Savior, praise God, who's always sufficient. And Paul's telling them here, praise God, inexplicitly, he said that true salvation is the putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. That precious blood that was shed on Calvary for you and me. That old sinners could be justified in the eyes of a holy God. Just as if we ain't who we know that we are. But we're saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. Praise his holy name. Paul lays it out here. He's speaking. And I want you to notice something. He doesn't change his gospel just because he's talking to a different people. Whether he's talking to the Corinthians, praise God, or he's talking to Titus or Timothy or the Romans or the Corinthians, his message is still the same. That we have peace, praise God, we have true salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, and there's no salvation in any other. Our salvation is in the Lord. Amen. And we need to be telling it everywhere we go because Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming. We're getting really close. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Everything that's transpiring around us today. Amen. We're hearing wars and rumors of wars. People mighty countries are maneuvering people around like God's moving around like on a chessboard. Something's getting ready to happen. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad there's a God of heaven. We put our faith and trust in because he said he's going to take care of us all the way. He's going to minister to hearts and give us that we need because he's already made a plan. When he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you putting your faith in tonight? If you're putting your faith in any other, praise God, you're backing up. Because Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the key, praise God. He's the one he's the plan that God had from the beginning. When Jesus Christ himself, he said, Father, I'll go. Amen. And guess what? He came. He conquered. Amen. And he became the price of sin so that you and I could be saved. Bless his holy name.